Because he's in us.
Yeah.
He's with us all the time.
Yeah. Right.
So we have an expectation
yes.
that his manifested Ooh. Presence goes with us everywhere we go.
Expectation of glory. That means your life doesn't have to look like everybody else's, and you don't have to expect it to look like everybody else's.
That's it. This mystery of Christ embedded in you.
It's like engrafted.
Oh, it's in there.
Rooted.
It was that man was created with that likeness. When he created man out of the dust of the ground, that's natural. But when he breathed into him, Christ became in him. The power of God came in him. The anointing of God came to him. The glory of God came into him. The favor of God came into him. The dominion of God came into him. And so when he created man, he gave him that dominion. Well, welcome to Winning Conversations and another edition of First Fridays. And it's so good to have the Deatons. How you guys doing?
Good. Well,
welcome, everybody.
Hey, everyone.
Hello.
Well, we're excited about today. And we just want to impart the word again, because I believe the word is what takes us higher. Mm-hmm. You know, the last couple months, didn't you guys enjoy the last couple
yes.
months?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, we've gotten so much feedback, great mm-hmm. feedback in that it was ministered to them right where they were. And if you remember, if you haven't watched them, I'm going to go back and encourage you to watch all the Winning podcasts every week, because there's always great things that you hear about our congregation and testimonies and Amen. People's lives.
Yes.
And so check those out. But just remember, we talked about hearing and doing.
Right.
And isn't that an amazing thing? Because it's in that hearing and doing the word that brings about the miraculous in
right.
our lives. And
that's,
what God's called us to do. And so in these next 2 months, we're going to be also unlocking some other things. Are you guys excited about this?
Yes, yes. Excited.
Because I don't know if there's any more people that are excited about the word more than us two couples. I mean, the word is, it's been life-changing to us.
Yeah. It is.
And so let's get into this. You guys ready?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Well, we're going to talk out of our key scriptures. Our key scripture that we're going to key on is going to be Colossians chapter 1. And we'll start in verse 25. And it says this. Paul speaking, he goes, "Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." Verse 26 says, "The mystery." So this is what Paul was called to do, right?
Right.
He was called to reveal this, the mystery which had been hidden from ages and from generations. So this is something that's hidden from generations. It's something that's been a mystery. It's something that's been hidden. So if it's hidden, then it's something that you can't see. It's something that you don't know this.
Right.
And Paul's saying this has been hidden from really the foundation of the world.
Right.
And yet he says, I have the opportunity to unlock this for you.
And who else better than Paul?
Right.
I mean, think about it. He lived his whole life the way he lived it.
I mean, he was going one direction all his life. I mean, he had a passion for God. He desired God.
Yeah, but
there's wrong.
Passion for the word.
Right. He had
a passion
for
donkey.
The word.
But he just had a wrong understanding.
Exactly.
He had a wrong understanding.
We can get on to Paul about, things that he did, but I believe that he was the one to unlock these truths because he had a hunger for the word.
Right. Yeah. Sure.
And so he wants us to know something. He goes, but now has been revealed to his saints, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. So he's about to tell us what this mystery is,
right.
which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
It's everything. Christ
everything.
In you, the hope of glory.
That's it.
What do you think about that, Pastor Eric?
Well, in the message it says that the mystery in a nutshell is just this, that Christ is in you. So therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory.
Wow. Right.
Wow.
That's amazing.
To share in his glory.
That's it.
Man, that all of a sudden that puts us like in a new class.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, Dr. Spell teaches about the glory of God, that it's God's manifested presence.
Yeah.
His manifested power,
right.
It's his manifested goodness,
right.
which includes favor.
Mm-hmm.
And just this past week, he talked about how that his manifested goodness also includes prosperity.
Yeah,
wow,
it is.
For sure.
Everything that we need is in Christ. And the Passion Translation, if you go back to verse 19, it says, "For God is satisfied to have all his fullness. Now think about that.
Mm. All his fullness.
All his fullness. The creator of the universe.
All his fullness.
Yeah.
Who created the world.
Yeah.
Created the whole universe. Yeah. And he's satisfied to have all his fullness dwelling in Christ. So then when we look at when it says Christ is in us,
yes.
Then we're talking about all the fullness of God dwelling within us. And so some notes on that says this includes all the fullness of God, the fullness of his plan for our lives, and the full image of God being restored in our hearts. That's a mouthful right there.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so we were talking earlier before you were saying how you were reading in Genesis about how we were created in his image and in his likeness, the original intent.
Yeah. I mean, that was it. Man was created with that likeness. When he created man out of the dust of the ground, that's natural. But when he breathed into him, when he breathed into the nostrils of Adam and he became a speaking spirit, Christ became in him. The power of God came in him. The anointing of God came to him. The glory of God came into him. The favor of God came into him. The dominion of God came into him. And so when he created man, he gave him that dominion and a power, that dominion and authority and placed him dominion over all his works. And he gave him the ability to accomplish it. And that was his presence on the inside of him. That was the Christ that was in him.
Even had a creative force through his words.
Yeah.
That's it.
And God brought all the animals, if you remember, to see what he would call them.
Right.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that was the original intent, was God being in man.
Right.
And I mean,
In all his fullness. And we live so short of that.
Oh my goodness. That's why I think it says restored, that the full image of God being restored into our hearts. You know, and if you think about it, Paul said, you know, that verse in Ephesians about that the light, I think in the Passion it says, I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling, restoring you to that.
Yeah. We need a greater understanding of that.
Take truth. Our imagination to that.
Yes. Yeah.
So in the church world, you know, we've been talking about who we are in Christ. Mm-hmm. I think that's so important when somebody, especially when they first get born again, you know, to transform their thinking, you know, by becoming conformed to the word.
Yeah.
And so you learn who you are in Christ, but until you understand who Christ is in you, then your faith will be limited. So, and we were talking about this, you know, prior to, as we were having a conversation before the conversation, but, you know, when I was growing up, I grew up in a Pentecostal church, and so I learned that whether it was taught or whether it was something that I perceived, that if I sinned and Jesus came back, that I wasn't going to heaven. You know, I wasn't going to make the rapture. Right. My mom, she didn't play basketball because their shorts were above the knee. And so if she was in a movie theater and Jesus returned, she wasn't going in the rapture.
Mm-hmm. Or danced.
So that was my knowledge of God. Like, I thought every time I sinned that God turned his back on me. Mm. And so I was like, he's always mad at me, you know, and I'm just trying to, and whether that was what was being taught to me or not, that's what that was my reality.
Yeah.
So I would always pray, you know, Lord, please bless this food in Jesus' name, amen. And please forgive me of my sins and even the ones I don't know about in Jesus' name, amen. I'm talking about...
Even the ones I don't know about.
I repented. I got saved 175 times, you know, because if I sinned, I thought, well, I wasn't saved anymore.
Right.
Well, that was improper knowledge.
That's it.
That was wrong knowledge of who God is and who... Who he is in me and what Jesus did...
Right.
So that we could be made, you know, remade in the image of God.
Yeah. I mean, so I believe that's why, you know, 2 Corinthians 4 says the God of this world blinds our minds, blinds our eyes, so we can't see the light of the glorious gospel that's in Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so how does he blind our eyes? Through lack of knowledge, through other people's experience, other people's information, tradition, our own experiences. It's almost like that, okay, I'm saved and I'm trying to obtain this Christ likeness.
Yeah. Mm.
It's like I'm saved and I'm trying to obtain. So I'm still in the natural trying to obtain this perfection instead of living out of the perfection that's in me. Instead of like, I've already attained Christ-likeness when I made him the Lord of my life. Yeah. Now, I know you were looking at that scripture, Colossians, right. in the Passion. What does it say in the Passion?
It says, living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope, filled with the riches of glory for his people, and God wants everyone to know it.
Want them to know.
I love it.
I love that. Floods you with expectation. What was it again? Floods you with
the expectation of glory.
Of glory. Think about, you know, that's why I think the word is so important.
Yeah.
If you don't go back to who Jesus was when he walked and talked on this earth, then you also don't realize what he's like in your own life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everyone Jesus came in contact with got better.
That's it.
It's the expectation of glory when you come in contact with him. It's not shame. It's not you're not good enough. It's not, you know, you should have known better.
Yeah.
It's he's going to make you better every time you come in contact with him.
But it comes down to your pursuit of knowing him.
Yes.
And I love what, you know, Paul says. He says, my determined purpose is to know you. And you know what? God wants to be made known. And the way he was made known is through Christ.
Right.
Yeah.
It's through Christ.
Yes, the visible representation. Right.
That's it.
He said, if you've seen me,
you've seen
the Father.
That's it.
And his disciples still didn't get it. Philip was like, show us the Father. You've seen the Father.
That's it.
You know, think about it this way. It's like, I know this is kind of a silly illustration, but if I got hit by a truck, there would be a transformation.
Yeah.
I know it's kind of silly, but if I got hit by a truck, it would be a transformation. So when you encounter the love of God, there should be a transformation.
Yes. Yeah.
So when you truly encounter Christ, there'll be a transformation. So most of the time people encounter religion or people kind of want to add Christianity a part of the rest of their lives.
Correct.
But when you understand according to 2 Corinthians, about being in Christ, that I'm in Christ, that I no longer live according to the flesh.
Yeah, it's getting rid of all the old stuff and getting the new stuff.
But
it's
I'm a
not,
new creation.
Because
yeah, right?
I am made new. So it's not adding that new truth to your old truths. You know, it's, you know, the new wineskin, the old wines, trying to put them together. It's not going to work. You've got to be renewed in your thinking. And the only way you're going to be renewed is through the word.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Through the word.
Revelation of the word.
And we have faith in
it. Jesus is the word.
It's a simple believing that.
Yeah.
I think that's the challenge for humanity because we're performance driven, you know, as humans.
We are.
And so we think we do have to earn this. So if I do something wrong, then my human nature says I need to crawl over some glass for, you know, 100 yards to make up for the wrong I did.
Right. Yeah. Which is like what Pastor Justin always says is like, you know, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It will actually work against what God wants to do for you by you constantly trying to establish your own righteousness or something apart from what Jesus did for you. It's like going to actually make you at odds with what God wants to do in your life. It makes it so hard.
You know, and there's times where you could even be praying and your natural mind will even say, God doesn't hear you. God doesn't hear you.
Right.
Or you're declaring things that, you know, that are rightfully mine as a covenant believer. And you know, I'm blessed coming in, I'm blessed going out. But yet your mind could say that maybe not for you because of this or because of that. And so then we get stuck with these blinders on and not living kind of like if we knew this aspect of it and we live from this position.
Yeah, it's that truth that will set you free.
It's that truth. It's that truth. That's why Paul calls it a mystery.
Yeah.
And it's been hidden for ages. Yeah. Hidden for ages. But now I'm revealing it to you that God's intent all along, after since the fall of man, was get us back to a place where God is on the inside of us. Hallelujah. That we're God inside minded. But like you said, most of the time, it's like we're flesh inside minded. We're mistake inside minded. We're, you know, and we're all guilty. And when I talked about sin consciousness, it's just that reality of trying to either please people, trying to conform, trying to be accepted, trying to do all these things instead of realizing that I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm right. accepted. Hallelujah. He's adopted me. Yes. He called me into his family. It's no one else. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks of me, yeah. is that I am inside. I have Christ in me.
Yes.
Yeah.
So therefore, we can expect, as you read in the Passion, he floods you with the expectation yeah. of glory.
Expectation.
We can have an expectation mm-hmm. that his manifested presence will be in our life every day mm-hmm. because he's in us.
Yeah. yeah.
He's with us all the time.
Yeah.
Right.
So we have an expectation
yes.
that his manifested Ooh. Presence goes with us everywhere we go.
Everywhere.
That he's for us, and if he's for us, who could be against yeah. us? We have an expectation that his power yeah. is present in our life. There's no name that's above the name of Jesus.
That's right.
And we also here in this church believe the Holy Spirit, you know, so yeah. when we are filled with the Holy yeah. Spirit, we get power.
Yes,
power. So power. We can operate in power. We have that expectation. We have an expectation that we will see his goodness every day.
Yeah. Every day.
Every day.
His favor, day. His goodness surrounds us as with a yeah. shield. We can have an expectation.
Every expectation day. Of glory. That means your life doesn't have to look like everybody else's, and you don't have to expect it to look like everybody else's.
Yeah.
You know, your expectation should be different.
Yeah.
You know, even when things come that come to everyone else and they get bad results, you don't have to expect those results. I think one of the greatest things about God, sorry, is that, you know, this expectation of glory is like, for example, a biggie is like when Jesus died, well, expectation is you stay dead, but not with our God.
No.
Not with what's working in him.
Our outcome is different.
You know,
yeah. right.
that's the expectation of glory yeah. is no matter what this world does to me,
come on,
God can do something yeah. amazing. That's glory.
That's glory.
That's glory. So it's not about what this world does I to us. That. It's about what God does with it after the fact.
Yeah.
That's so good.
It says in Isaiah in the
if
end.
If we have hope and faith in that.
His glory will be seen on us.
That's good.
We have
yes.
an expectation.
Mm.
That as light gets brighter and darkness gets darker,
yeah.
the light always expels the darkness and we're going to burn brighter and brighter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I wrote down, hope isn't a wishful thought, because when, you know, right. we hear that, the world's connotation of the word hope is just, I'm wishing.
I wish.
Yeah. No, but it is a confident, expectant, joyful knowledge that we are being changed, that yes. God is in us.
Yes.
That word embedded within us in the Passion Translation stood out to me. This mystery of Christ embedded.
Wow.
Embedded
oh, I love that.
In you.
It's like engrafted.
Oh, it's yeah. in there.
Rooted.
That's
yeah.
it.
Alive.
Yeah, alive.
Embedded.
Yeah,
wow.
That's good. And that becomes the hope.
I always think of hope, too, as that eager anticipation. Like, it's not like a wish, like you said, but it's like you know it's coming.
It's coming.
It's eager anticipation that it's coming.
Out on the edge of your seat.
Yeah, yeah, right?
And I believe that every Christian can experience this manifested presence of him.
And yeah. that's his glory. Because, yeah. again, yeah. people, the world doesn't understand that word glory either. There's a different worldly connotation to that word, mm. you know?
Yeah.
But
it,
what does it mean for us? God's glory.
Yeah. And you can have a real experience with God.
Yeah. You know, it's just like to answer even what Annette was saying, just for anyone that's watching, it's just his glory is his goodness.
It's good.
You know, his glory is, the Bible actually, how it really translates is the weightiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The weightiness of his goodness, mm-hmm. of his presence, his power, and his love.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
So that's who God is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so
he wants to be to you.
Yeah, so the glory of God is just like what radiates from him.
Mm. On the inside of us.
Yeah.
And it's on the inside of us. And who, he doesn't have love. He is love.
Right.
He is love.
He is
mercy.
Goodness. God right. is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that, yes, he has goodness, but he is good.
So our expectation changes.
Yeah.
When
right.
we know this,
yes.
we expect favor.
Yes.
We expect yeah. promotion. We expect.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I know you're a believer, I can expect that for you.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I am confident in you because I'm confident in the Christ in you.
That's it.
The Christ for you.
Oh, yeah. That's
you know,
good.
It's for, yeah. yeah, either way you look at it.
Wow.
I love that.
Wow, that's so good.
Who has yeah. been faithful from the beginning.
Yeah. Amen. And every time we make room for that to happen in our lives, then, and it does, then it gives glory back to God. You know what I mean? Like, he's glorified. Like, his name is glorified. When we trust in his name, when we trust in the Christ in us, then he ends up getting glory. That's good. Because the glory manifests. Wow. Yeah. It's awesome.
So going back to who is Jesus from the beginning, Proverbs says that I have been established. This is Proverbs 8. I have been established from everlasting. From the beginning, before there was ever an earth.
Yeah. Right.
That's who's living in us.
Yeah.
When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water.
Wow.
Before the mountains were settled.
Yeah.
Before the hills, I was brought forth. Are you feeling
that's my Jesus.
Yeah.
He's on the inside of us.
Yeah.
While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit. So people think that they can control the... Listen, God has set limits of what the earth is to be. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
Right.
Jesus was there this whole time, so that the waters would not transgress his command when he marked out the foundations. Then I was beside him as a master craftsman.
Wow. Yeah.
Beside him.
And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Yeah. That's the Christ in us.
Wow.
Wow. Christ in me. Christ in me.
Yeah. That Christ in me.
Christ is in me.
And the only way we limit him is through our understanding, our lack of understanding, or not knowing the word and the truth of who he is.
Right. You know, and it's like we need our understanding. We need to expand our understanding of this.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, the mind, the flesh, is always at enmity against God.
Yeah.
And so we're always going to be tempted to go back to think that we're less than.
Right.
Realizing what is on the inside of us. Like you were reading something this morning, I thought. It was out of Colossians. Mm-hmm. I guess Colossians 2. I think you were saying this, but it was Colossians 2.
Was it 2:1? For I want you to know how great is my solitude for you, how severe in an inward struggle I am engaged in for you.
Yeah, and he goes through all this, but then he gets over to verse 8, and he says this: beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy or empty deceit,
right.
Mm-hmm. According to the traditions of men,
traditions.
According to the basic principles of the world.
Right.
Yeah.
So Paul is giving a warning. He goes, and this is just chapter 2 after he said Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so he says there's things that are going to try to cheat you out of this.
Right. Captivate
how
you.
How soon have you turned?
Yeah.
From the hope of glory that Christ in you to empty deceit, traditions, whatever.
Philosophy. What is our world is always trying to figure things out, thinking if they could just gain more knowledge, if we could gain more understanding of where we came from, we could gain more understanding of the brain or more understanding. Yeah, I'm not against education. I'm not against progression in healing and cures and things that they do.
Right.
But the thing is we can't think apart from, we have to think different than the world thinks.
Right.
Because he says here that there's things that are going to try to steal through philosophy, empty deceit, the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world and not according to Christ.
Right.
Yeah. My Bible says it's called idle fancies and plain nonsense.
It's just nonsense. Plain
nonsense.
You know,
because the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God.
Yeah, but men think they're so smart in their own human nature.
And it robs us. It totally robs us.
Yeah. It does.
Basic principles of this world. It's not even deep knowledge.
No. Right.
And it says,
so he warns us against that.
And not according to Christ, because then it says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Yep.
And if we stop there, we're like, oh yeah, man, Jesus had everything on the inside of him, and Jesus was full. He had the anointing without measure and all these different things.
But
then
the
we forget
verse.
That says, and you. Are complete in him.
Amen.
Wow.
Yep.
Complete.
Complete.
were you going to say?
I wrote down in my notes, 1 Corinthians 1 says, enriched in everything by him, in all utterance, all knowledge, come short in no gift, because Christ is in you.
Mm. We come short in no gift. That's amazing.
No.
Okay. It takes faith.
And if we limit our knowledge to the basic principles of this world, we are so far below what we can achieve.
Yeah. And we'll be blinded.
Yeah.
And we'll sit there and wonder. Blindsided. We'll blame. Yeah. We'll have shame. We'll have guilt. We'll be controlled by fear. All these different things. And all the while, you have the Godhead.
All the while.
Yeah.
You have all that God is on the inside of you.
From the beginning.
Yeah. From the beginning.
From the beginning.
Before there ever was.
Right.
He was.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, what is there that he does not know? Wow. You know, you go back to Job and Psalms, and it's, you know, who can tell him anything? Who can counsel him anything? And that guy is in you.
That guy.
That guy.
I love it.
That guy. That's my God.
That's my God.
I think Numbers says it's like the heavens of the heavens can't contain him.
Right.
And yet he's in you. He's in me. Now, if you look at this from a natural philosophy, well, that doesn't make sense. That's why you have to understand and fully understand the fact that we are made in his image.
Amen.
And he's getting us back to that.
Yeah.
You know, before we leave this earth,
right?
We'll have been, can I say, the spitting image of God.
The glorious church.
The glorious church.
No, I think John says... It says that we will be like him, and we'll see him when he comes back.
Right.
We'll see him as he is, for we will be like him.
That's good.
That's awesome.
Woo.
Today.
Right now.
Today?
So going back to, we can have this expectation now because he's in us, that we can live like God lives.
That's good.
Right.
We can have that expectation. So we can go back to say, show me your glory.
Mm-hmm. I thought of that, yeah.
And it's something that we can experience every day.
Yeah.
That's what we need to understand. We can experience this every day.
Every day.
Every day. Yeah. When we go out to work, to school, to the grocery store,
Amen.
We can experience his glory. And we could, not only will God show us his glory, we can show the glory of God to others.
Amen. I want to close with a scripture. We just got a couple minutes left in Ephesians 1. And we won't necessarily expound a lot on this, but I want to read this because this deals with, you know, being in Christ. And I believe that's the message to the church. These were the messages to the church, whether it was the church of Galatians, the church of Ephesus, the church of Colossae, the church of Philippi, the church of Thessalonians. All through it, Paul is trying to deposit this understanding of really who the church is to be.
The Church of Heritage of Faith.
There you go.
I mean, the Church of God in as a whole,
yes,
you know.
Amen.
And it says this, in verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now get this, who has.
Yeah.
Meaning, this is not heaven one day. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. So every heavenly blessing, every blessing that's in heaven, he has blessed us with it. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I'm without blame.
Right.
Having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. Look, get this. According to the good pleasure of his will. Man, it's the good pleasure of his will.
Thank you.
To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Then verse 7, in him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood.
Amen.
The forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure of his will, which he purposed in himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather in one all things in Christ,
right.
Both which are in heaven and which are in earth, in him. In him.
Wow.
And we could keep reading. I mean, it goes
Christ.
On and on. I mean, if you look at least, for sure, the first three chapters of Ephesus, it paints this picture that Christ is in us.
Yeah.
And we have been blessed.
Right.
With every spiritual blessing. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Is there anything else
that's
you want to say?
That's good news.
I mean, it is good. Good news.
That's good news.
It's good news.
So good. That's good news.
Pastor Ned, I'll put you on the spot. Would you pray for you know, our listeners or those that are watching?
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. Father, I thank you. I thank you for a greater hunger, a greater determined purpose in each every one of us and all those watching to know you, to know you, and to know the fullness of you in us, Lord God. I thank you, Father. I thank you that we are not satisfied. Yes, we will never be satisfied. We want more of you, more of you, more of you, and more of an understanding of who you are in us. Yes. Oh, Father, I praise you, and I thank you for your word, so rich. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are going to continue to bring this truth to our remembrance when we feel like we're falling short, where we're going back into our flesh or our past, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is quick to remind us that we are in you, that we are in you and you are in us. The hope of glory, the hope of glory, that we have a greater expectation. We have a better outcome because you are on the inside of us. Mm. Oh, I praise you today, Father, and I thank you for this word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, what another great conversation. Yes. So love doing this with you guys. We love our church family and so grateful for each one of you. And we speak health over you. We speak life over you. We declare that his presence is showing up in your life big time. And so anyway, until next time, we love you. God bless and go give him Jesus.